Grace, peace, and mercy are yours in the one who meets us in our doubts, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. It's a strange place to sit on this second Sunday of Easter, isn't it? Much like we did last week, as our Easter alleluias were shouted at computer screens in our own living rooms or maybe a few parking lots, some were taped into windows, where we took it on faith that that chorus was not as solitary as it sounded in our own ears. We trust again that today we raise that collective shout of praise, even when we can't hear one another. Shall we? Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's a story of faith that we read this morning as we step into the post-resurrection hours of John's gospel. Faith in its purest form and its sort of sweetest formation. First, that very evening, and then a week later, where the disciples are locked together in a room that had once served to welcome them as a whole group, and now saw them down by two. And we sometimes think of the fear that must have been swirling outside, fear of arrest or death, of the unrest in the streets, fear of association with Jesus, or maybe the fear of not being recognized as a friend or a disciple of Jesus. But I'm sure that there was just as much, if not more, grief and pain and anger swirling inside those walls behind that locked door. We know too well the pain that one death can make in our hearts. They had two. And add to that the betrayal by one of their own, denial of Jesus by another. And my guess is that group of ragtag disciples was one hot mess. And yet what could they do but gather there together, holding space for their hurt? I'm imagining the tempers might have flared a bit, as confinement is wont to bring out in us, that trust was a little bit fragile, and hope perhaps more fragile still. And into all of this comes Jesus. And what does he do? But he shows them his wounds. Wounds in his hands and in his feet that point back to the shouting and the marching down the road with the cross on his back as the people just stood there and watched. Wounds that point to that man who on the cross prayed for forgiveness for the very ones who were torturing him. Wounds that are every bit as real as the wounded hearts that were now sitting with him in the room in fear. Wounds that boldly say, y'all, the hurt didn't get the last word. So now you get to go boldly into the world in my name. And you get to do the things that I came to do because your wounds are part of this story too. Do you ever stop to think about your wounds as part of that God story that you get to tell the world? All of the hurt, the betrayal, the fear, the scars, all those parts of your story that you might rather leave off your perfectly curated social media feed. Yet these are the wounds that teach us the most. Wounds that give us perspective. Wounds that give us background and history, sympathy for others, love for those who have walked a similar path. Jesus could have come out of that tomb shiny and pretty and perfect. He came out looking like death. Death and life and life and death all rolled into this Savior standing in the room with the ones that he had loved most in the world. The story of faith, but maybe not in the way we might first think. Thomas missed the reunion. When he came back, the other 10 had this story of what they had seen and he had missed. And like any of us might have done, he was adamant that he was going to get that experience of Jesus too. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Indeed. It's a powerful word. And there's a reason that we use it in our Easter proclamations from now until Pentecost. But the word indeed can actually have two meanings. It can mean everything I just said is 100% true and I affirm it completely. But it can also mean just the opposite. Indeed can be a question of truth, a little smack of irony, or this sort of incredulous snort, indeed. And maybe the journey of faith in the resurrection story is a journey from the latter, indeed, to the first one. Maybe Thomas's reaction to the excited, we've seen the Lord, was more of a, indeed. Of course you did, brothers. Just one more wacky fry in the box this week. But a week later, and I wish I knew why Jesus waited a week. Jesus comes again. After a week of Thomas having to hear the disciples tell their story probably over and over, but maybe not with as much conviction as they think they have, since we still find them locked in that house a week later. When Jesus shows up again, and Thomas is now invited into that experience, he places his hands into those scarred palms, those palms that he had seen heal the sick and raise the dead. He places his hand against that pierced side, side that he had walked with for hundreds of miles all over Judea. And the wounds of his own heart heal a little as he declares Jesus to be exactly who he claims to be. My Lord and my God. Faith for Thomas comes when Jesus meets him at his doubting spot and brings what he needs to make the step from one very wary indeed to a certain clear shout it from the rooftops, indeed. In faith formation, we trust in what we can't see. We open the doors for questions and doubts. In the Lutheran tradition, we welcome and invite in. In fact, we bless the doubters because in them we see where the wounded meet the one whose wounds are a healing balm. We teach our children that it's okay to wonder why on earth things are as they are. We know that the love of Jesus has room for this wondering, and Jesus holds the space for us, as in that room, to jump from an indeed to an indeed to an indeed. My siblings in Christ, we are a church becoming something new in these weeks where we find ourselves locked up together in our homes. Whatever it is that swirls around you, inside and outside, whether that today is fear or doubt or grief or anger, uncertainty, maybe even it's just joy that is all cooped up and unshared. Know that Jesus is not kept out by anything that we can construct. This is the Jesus who sits on the side of the hospital bed with the one who can't breathe and longs for the presence of a loved one. This is the Jesus who sits at the table with the squabbly kiddos who are trying to do math problems while parents are trying to work and to teach at the same time. This is the Jesus who just sits on the couch and cries with the one who has lost their source of income and has no idea of how long they're going to be able to pay the rent or buy groceries This is the Jesus sent by the Father with all the love for the world, who joins us in our love for the world as we watch with broken hearts as pandemic numbers rise and fall in countries we may not even normally pay attention to. And Jesus is with us when our indeed is a little shaky, when we doubt, when we fear, we just can't even go there at all. Picture those nail-scarred hands held out to you, beloveds. Our brother Thomas stands with us as a testament to faith when it all seems hopeless. I think that's why we love him for it. Let me hear it one more time. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia.